And now, Tim Dillon is going to hell!
Welcome to Tim Dillon is Going to Hell, everybody. Very excited to be here back in New York. Not really, but I'm here. Get tickets. If you don't have tickets, me and Ron Bennington, who's maybe the greatest broadcaster like ever. The guy is a legend. We're doing a great podcast, Moon Tower Comedy Festival, Thursday, April 26th, 6 p.m. at a venue called Speakeasy. If you have a festival badge, you can get in. If not, the ticket link's in the profile on my Instagram page. You can just buy a ticket for that event. It's well worth it. Ron's fucking amazing. I wanted to do Alex Jones, but I thought, I don't know. Maybe I'll go on InfoWars when I'm down there. Still thinking about that. Probably not. But I don't know. We'll think about that. Francis Ellis, Barstool Sports, among other things. Very funny comedian. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Would you go on InfoWars?
I don't think so.
Really?
I don't see that ending well.
I think it would be a great conversation me and Alex would have. We'd have a lot of fun. But you wouldn't do it.
Of course I would.
You would.
That's the answer. But I as a contrarian, you know.
What do you mean?
I would not suss him up.
You wouldn't agree with him.
I wouldn't spice
That's
him
the
up.
Problem. Yeah. I'm not really going to go on there as like a I'm going to be 3 minutes in. I'm going to be like, high fiving and yes, queen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to be like, yes, queen.
I don't think you can corral him, though.
I agree with some of the things he says. That's the problem. Some of the things he says, I think, are great. And then, of course, some of them aren't. But isn't that everybody?
Yeah. But I don't even know if he's sane enough to carry.
I think he gets worked up.
You think it's a character?
I don't know. I think he's an exaggerated version of himself, kind of like I am, kind of like a lot of people are. But yeah, he does some things that I don't agree with. He's just made some sloppy, reckless statements.
I don't like the...
I've always wanted to go into the InfoWars compound. I have friends, and we'll watch him. I've been listening or watching Alex maybe for almost 20 years, since the late 90s, early 2000s, I've been like aware of him, watching him. I'd be like, what's this guy about? So to me, just the experience of going into the InfoWars compound in that industrial park in Austin and being on InfoWars would be so hilarious. I'm sure my agent would not feel that way.
Right.
My manager wouldn't care because he's like, what? Who?
Yeah.
Alex? Great. He doesn't even know. He doesn't know who Alex knows.
Have you met him before?
My manager? No. I've met him briefly, huh. Alex, but I've never like, I could get, but I'm going to be down there, but I'm not going to do it. But I don't know. I still feel like there's just, I don't know. But I think people, it would open up a can of worms, you know. But Barstool Sports, you guys get in trouble. Not everybody loves you guys for whatever reason.
No.
Right? You catch a lot of heat.
Yeah, but
you don't
never...
have enough trans people talking about kickboxing or whatever. I don't know. Why do people get angry with you guys?
There are a few choice sound bites and lines from the 14-year history of the company that have lived indelibly in the ink of the internet that have not aged well.
Right. And people, right. But you guys are a fun punching bag because you're for dudes.
Sure.
And you're about sports and, you know, people right then and there.
Yes. I mean, I think it's...
You're like, what, 6'4"?
Yep.
You're white.
Sure.
You are white.
Sure,
like when you walked in, I'm like, this guy's a white guy. You went to Harvard.
Yes.
So you're public enemy number one to a lot of people already.
Sure.
Yeah.
But as far as the hierarchy of people that are despised at Barstool, I'm not one of the bad ones.
Wow.
I tend to get credit from
you're one of the good
from
ones.
The progressives.
Oh, God. You're the woke one?
Voice of reason.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay. So. But every now and then you guys do catch some flack.
True.
Yeah.
True, we do. I mean, I wrote a long blog lauding the testimony of Christine Blasey Ford during the Kavanaugh hearings,
which
led to death threats from our audience.
It's just, well, that's also an interesting thing to just put on Barstool Sports.
Sure. But you know? I've learned that
and
there's...
And now here... are 1,000 words about Christine Blasey Ford and her bravery.
I couldn't get past his the calendars. I couldn't.
Yeah.
I thought there was so much humor in that.
Yeah.
And his, I mean, whatever. But no, I it's we are the company in the last 2 years has now we now have a female CEO. I mean, this is the I'm reading you the
yeah.
disclaimer that you know our well, yeah. it's hammered into us. We have a woman CEO, Erica Nardini, who's fantastic. Our content staff is
hopefully almost, she's a dude though. You know what I mean?
I hope
like
so.
She gets it. You know, a woman CEO, but she gets it. You know?
Sure.
Okay. All right.
And then half Woo! The content.
If Barstool
staff
Sports is- goes woke, if Cat Williams goes woke, I'm quitting the business. I've told everybody this. If Cat Williams does a Nanette and goes woke, I'm out. I told Rogan that. I said, Cat Williams is the only guy that I is my holdout. If he goes woke, I'm done. I walk away. I just walk. That's the end. If I turn on Barstool Sport, I don't go to it. I don't really go. I don't go to the site much, but I know you guys have a lot of podcasts and they're funny and there's a lot of, but you know, I think it's good to be, especially now there's a hunger for people to just kind of be funny and goofy. And that's kind of what you guys are. You're silly and you're
yes.
like not taking yourselves too seriously.
Right.
Except you when you write
yeah,
essays
that was
about Christine Blasey.
That was a mistake. I regretted that. Not because of my stance, but because of the one guy told me I raped his cousin when I was blackout drunk.
That's hilarious. See, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
That's what I would. That guy's a fun guy. That guy might be a guest digital subscriber. Real ass dude of the week, as Louis J. Gomez would say. So a guy just accused you of raping his cousin.
Yeah, he wrote me a long paragraph yeah. about where I was when it happened.
Wow.
And how she felt in the months following.
Is
and,
he's basically trying to tell you, like, look how easy we can do that.
Well, then I was so shaken by it, even though everyone had told me he's making this up.
Wait a minute, what do you mean people had to tell you he was...
Because I was tracking back in my mind.
Oh, you're like, did I rape this woman?
I mean...
Of course.
Because I've never been accused of rape before.
Interesting.
So I went back and I was like...
Kind of a cuck in that respect, aren't you? You know, you haven't really...
Is that the right use?
I don't know.
Of that term?
Yeah.
I guess, yeah. So then I went back and then I said, buddy, you know, I hope you're kidding or whatever.
Like, buddy, we went to the office. We all looked at this.
Yeah.
This is not credible.
We went to the tape and
yeah.
he said... you're all set, buddy. I just wanted you to know how it feels to have mob mentality
wow.
dictate your fate.
Well, pretty clever.
And he taught me.
Pretty clever. Pretty interesting.
Yes.
I don't know. Pretty
Never to come to Christine Blasey.
My one thing with Barstool Sports, my problem is not your lack of female, you know, MMA commentators. It's the Saturdays are for the boys. This is my...
I think
this
that's,
is my
we've moved past that.
This is my thing where when I'm on Instagram and I see this, I get so angry
mm-hmm.
because I see some of the people that are posting it and they're like live with their mother and I know them. And I'm like, no day is for the boys. Every day is for getting a job and getting out of your house on Long Island.
Yeah.
No day is yours. Saturday, Sunday, certainly not Monday through Friday. Every fucking day is you getting up and leave. You're not even on your property, but every day Saturdays for the boys. And it's also like it becomes people's personality. People don't have a personality. They're like, Saturdays for the boys. And it's like, oh, will you get fucking stop? It would be like just, it would be like me or anybody using Nike's logo and just being like, just do it. It's Saturday.
Sure.
Just do it.
Do you think that people who say that slogan
yeah.
lean on it as an excuse for not forging their own identity?
Well, I think it's, I just think it's annoying.
Sure.
So it's just annoying, and I get it. It's a brilliant marketing thing. It's just, I hate when people glom onto a phrase and then just constantly repeat it.
I think there's an irony to it, though.
Yeah,
I
sure.
Think,
and I'm sure many of the people using it get the deep levels of the irony. I'm sure that's a huge. I'm sure that a huge component of the crowd is really
yes.
capturing that.
Well, you
no,
know,
but it should be. It's like a funny thing
to me.
Yeah.
In this day and age, it's very important that people not forget the importance of the straight
yeah.
white males.
Now, you were the last white guy at Harvard. This is true. You
that's
were the
right.
last white male to
right.
attend Harvard before it was taken over by Asians, by mixed race lesbians.
Sure.
Now, what?
I just want to add
yeah,
one thing.
Sure.
I got in as a true lacrosse player.
Yeah.
Not like these horrible parents.
Yeah.
I mean, a blue collar lacrosse.
Now, where did
player.
You grow up?
A recruited lacrosse.
Yeah, so you grew up
in
where?
Maine.
In Maine.
Yeah, on the
interesting.
Coast.
Interesting. Coast of Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the Harvard look. You have that lacrosse player look, the look of somebody who's going to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Thank
right.
You.
And you were. Now, you got in, no, you weren't a legacy. Dad didn't go.
Correct.
Where did your father go to school?
Amherst College.
Amherst. Okay. So he was trash. No, I'm kidding. but he was smart. I mean, that's just like my yeah. father managed a color tile. So I'm just trying to draw a line from Amherst to Harvard is not exactly,
no.
you know what I mean? It's not like a crazy, you know?
Right.
And then what about mom?
Mom was smart. Mom was-
Where'd mom go?
First class of women at Princeton.
Okay, Princeton. And my mother was a wiki-watching mermaid in Florida where she would swim around a tank and then guys, this is true- guys, before the strip club would open, I guess would jerk off in a parking lot and watch her in a tank.
God.
And then, yeah, so she was.
Wait a
but
second.
Then
what, she did became, she have a terrific lung capacity, or was she?
I don't know. I think they had
scuba gear.
They had some type of snorkeling, or I guess it was scuba gear. Maybe
really
they were
undoes
their breath.
The whole mermaid.
I mean, these are not people that should be allowed
fantasy.
To breathe. You know, I mean, this is. They don't need air, let's be honest. If we were dividing air up in this society, and we will soon, I don't think the mermaids in South Florida should get a huge portion of it. That's just, I'm just throwing it out there. So if one Jeff Bezos gets to decide who gets the fucking oxygen, don't give it to my dumb mother. Who is smart, and she did go to college, but she ran a swim program. She redeemed herself,
yeah.
blah, blah, blah.
Good,
but
good.
I'm saying your family, very successful. You go to Harvard. Not shocking.
I suppose not.
It is the big school, though, other than Yale. I mean, that's the real one.
That, yeah. I was thrilled. I didn't think I would be able to go there. It was never a reality for me until
right.
the lacrosse thing.
Interesting. And yeah. you were D1.
Yeah.
Really good lacrosse player.
Yeah, I was solid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What now? Lacrosse. There's no league after college. It's
there is, but it's an
it's embarrassing.
It's a summer camp thing.
In Long Island. They have a team called the Long Island Lizards.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, imagine having to tell somebody that your son is on the Long Island Lizards. You would just say he OD'd on heroin. Like that's what I would do. I would just say my son overdosed on heroin, and we found him. In his room with his blue lips.
Uh-huh.
Instead of he's on the Long Island, like being a lacrosse star is kind of crazy.
Yes, but you're from Long Island.
I am, yeah,
and it's a religion out there.
People love it,
and I'm sure that many parents envision the highest success for their children being
sure.
to play for the Long
yeah.
Island Lizards.
Yeah, it is always weird to me because with football, with basketball, there's always this idea that maybe you could go pro.
Right.
But with lacrosse, pro is nothing.
Yeah, for me, it was just use it to get
yeah,
into
use it to get into Harvard.
Yeah.
What did you major in Harvard?
I majored in...
Was there a lot of like hot, closeted gay stuff going on with the lacrosse team?
I didn't see
any of it?
No, but
did you ever find out like later on that one of the kids was gay?
I heard
yeah.
That there was some group activities
no.
going on where there might have been some blurring of the tag team.
Explain that. You were so...
Well,
he has such a great Harvard way of speaking, his activation. It's so amazing. You get somebody in here from Barstool Sports, and he's like, I had heard that potentially there was quite a little bit of confusion. It's like such a mind fuck. It's great. I sound like I work for Barstool Sports. This guy, this is like, I'd envision that. I mean, this guy is so like elegant. And so what do you mean group activity? Like, that's strange to me.
There were.
Please go into that in as much detail as
there
you
was
can possibly remember.
A couple you got younger guys on the team when I was a senior
yeah.
who.
19, 18, legal.
Were routinely, it was known, you know, having wild nights of bacchanal and whatever else.
Okay.
And,
what do you like drinking?
Yeah, yeah, but with like the group sex stuff. And then it was rumored that, and substantiated that they were. Engaging with each other.
Oh, wow.
But nobody cared, right?
Right.
It was far enough along in the timeline of the world that we didn't
right.
We didn't excoriate them.
Right. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Now, excoriate.
Excoriate. Excuse me.
Excoriate for all of the people, the Gas Digital people listening to this show, means like to excoriate them would be like attack them.
Sure.
Right.
Or, yeah. Like, you know, string
trying
them
to
up.
Use like a fighting metaphor so that my audience can kind of understand like a fighting way to.
Yeah.
Did you ever talk to them about it? Was that anyone ever on the team like, hey, we heard you guys kind of fuck each other?
No. We let them be. They were good guys.
Right.
And if they kind of bragged about all the girls that they were sleeping with. They just left out the
right, that they were kind of interesting.
Whatever else was happening.
Interesting. What did you think of Harvard?
I loved it.
Great time.
I loved it, but it was before any of the sort of scandals that are now engulfing right. the school.
Do you feel like that's diminished the credibility of places like this?
I don't know. I mean,
do you think it's the great equalizer? Like now people will look at my alma mater, Nassau Community College, with more respect, and they'll be like, well, at least he got in there without any bribery.
Yeah, everybody who...
Which technically isn't true. I'm sure my parents probably did do something to get me in.
I think it's something that people were waiting for and want to point to as a way of delegitimizing what is seen as the elite academic institutions.
Yeah. How do you, because you're an elite guy, but there's probably people out there, because you work for Barstool Sports, that will talk down to you, or even because you're in the entertainment world, or the comedy world, or you're the influencer, bullshit, whatever you want to say, there's probably people out there that you are so much smarter than that will like talk down. Has that ever been the case?
Sure.
People are kind of dismissive.
But I look forward to that.
Right, right. Because then you excoriate them.
Sure. There
right.
you go.
Okay.
I know you. I listen to your stuff. And,
yeah.
And I'm sure it's like for you, when you get a heckler, I mean,
sure.
With your skill set, it's like, okay, bingo,
yeah.
Gloves are
yeah.
on, let's
yeah,
go.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it when people sort of underestimate me based on my resume or wherever, and they don't know certain parts of my life and make judgments. And then, because I know I'm equipped to sort of make people look stupid, and I enjoy that.
That's great.
Yeah.
So you like kind of people thinking
yeah.
that you're some fucking punk.
Or just like, or like a frat bro. I think
right.
if people diminish me to being a frat bro, I look forward to that.
What? Why comedy? What about comedy did you get into? Because that's an interesting like left turn for a guy with your resume.
Yeah, I always loved performing. I
yeah.
did theater and you know, middle school, high school.
Yeah.
I always played music my whole life. And then I always listening to comedy. I mean, I listened to comedy on Napster. That was
wow.
my thing. I grew up listening to Eddie Murphy illegally. And,
sure. How old are you?
I just turned 30.
Okay.
Yeah. So I and Lewis Black, and we listened
sure.
to Seinfeld in the car as a family. And
what a cute family.
Yeah, sure.
Seinfeld in the car.
Yeah.
How would I see? so your parents didn't scream at each other?
No.
We got wow.
We would turn him on to
Amherst and Princeton. See, that's the way to handle it.
Yeah.
That's the way to fucking handle it.
But then I wanted, when I didn't have a job, believe it or not. I hated the stuff that everyone was doing.
Finance.
I tried.
Tech.
I tried to go into finance.
What'd you do? A little internship?
I did the junior internship in Stamford, Connecticut at the Royal Bank of Scotland.
Yeah.
RBS.
That's a real great town. Stamford,
sure
Connecticut.
Is. Sure is.
Boy. What a hell. Stamford. I was just in Springfield, Massachusetts.
I'm going up there.
It's really not a great town.
Did you do Roar?
I had fun. I mean, listen, it's in a castle.
Uh-huh.
So it's not the perfect thing for comedy.
Yeah.
But the town, I had no idea how bad the town
it's bad.
Was. I said to the woman, I said, why do all the restaurants here close at like 10
mm-hmm.
on weekends? And she's like, she said very calmly, she goes, oh, the gang violence. And I'm like, the gang violence? And the reality is, I was texting friends, and they were like, oh, it's a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
And I took a walk, like, that day, because I'm like, oh, yeah, I bet it's fine. So I walked, there's a great little Italian spot called Red Rose Pizzeria, it's right on the corner there. And I passed that spot and I just kept walking. I made it about six blocks and I was like, oh, yeah.
Really? You well, could
it
tell?
It boarded up houses and people in the middle of the street, people pissing in the middle of the street, drug deals in front of you.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it gets a little wild where you're like, well, you're walking around. Now, thank God I look like a corrupt cop. Like, I look like a cop who's on the take.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a cop who arrests somebody and who's like, all right, but before I put you in the car, how can we both leave happy? You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. Just making a pregnant woman suck my dick in the back of the car. That's what I look like, you know? That's Officer Dylan. He lives by his own. This guy's so nervous being on the show with me. He's like, I wrote a thing about Christine Blasey Ford. I just.
These are the things that you can say that I can't say.
I think you can. I think you can.
I haven't earned it yet.
As long as you're funny, I think you can do whatever you want. I believe that. But listen, not if you want to sitcom on CBS.
Right.
But if you do, then God bless you.
I'm at a point in my career where I don't have the luxury of limiting options.
Okay.
I would say.
Oh, sure.
I mean, I haven't had those meetings out in LA. I haven't had. I'm still fucking. I'm following the clubs that you're playing.
Yeah.
I did the Bridgeport.
But you have your own audience, and what you should realize, you have your own audience. You have people that like you.
Mm.
You're going to do big theaters. You're going to record an album. You're building your own fucking pirate ship that no one can take away from you. Mm. So I think in that regard, that's the future of this business. The future is not, you know, you getting a check from a network and then, you know, making a show. That could happen. The chances of it happening are incredibly low.
Mm.
You know, CBS didn't pick up Sebastian Maniscalco's show. He's selling out state arenas.
Yeah,
okay.
Garden.
You know, those networks will pass on things where you'll be huge stars. But I totally get it.
Yeah.
I totally get it. But the way that I feel, and I'm only starting to feel like it now, only after conversations I've had with people that I respect who are much more successful than me, it's like, if people know where your heart is and people know and they know you, you can do what you want to do.
I agree with that.
You know?
But that's what I mean by saying I haven't earned it, is that people don't know me.
Yeah, that's fair.
Outside of
that's
Barstool.
That's very fair. I sit in a meeting with some people and I go, they've never probably Googled me.
Right.
And then maybe some of them have. But I'm unwilling to do certain things for success. Like right after the Covington thing happened, where a lot of my colleagues were on Twitter, it's going, kill the kids, dox the kid. And nobody had seen the fucking tape.
Mm.
I made a little joke about it. Like I was like, oh, some kids do need to be shot, like as a joke. And then as a joke, so I'm only ever really joking. And then the fucking, all the footage came out and I was like, fuck. And I ripped the joke down. And then I was like, look, and I was sharing the videos of the full thing where the kids didn't really do anything wrong. But my colleagues, my esteemed group out there in LA, many of them who are demons demons from hell, and I know that you'll meet them all and it'll be fun. They were saying dox the kids, harass, threaten children. So I'm unwilling to.
They stuck with it even.
Oh,
once
sure,
the came out.
Yeah. Most of them, a lot of them, doubled down. So I'm unwilling to, for my own career, suggest that we threaten, harass, and intimidate children.
Sure,
that would be the line for me.
Right.
I don't really care about other people, but when it comes to children who haven't done anything, but the mob in Hollywood, and if you want to be a part of the mob, you got to do what the mob says. So I've never wanted to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I've never wanted to do what the mob says. But if you want to be that guy who wears the suit and stands in the room and on their terms, I've always wanted to kind of do it on my terms.
And you're known for that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think heralded for it.
Well, I mean, heralded is a...
Yeah. Well, I mean, Tim Dillon, one of the most unique comedians in New York, certainly.
Well, that's a real challenge.
Let me ask you this. Do you consider yourself an LA comedian now? Or because said your colleagues, your friends in LA.
Well, just the people, not even people that I intimately know, just people that are comedians in this business, and some of them much more successful than I am, mm-hmm. you know? But again, are like when I see what some of them write, I'm like, if this is where the mob is on any given day, because the mob's not always wrong, but here's why I don't go with the mob, because they're a fucking mob. I mean, so I tend to step back and go like, well, I don't really want to throw my hat in the ring here. They're not always wrong. Sometimes mm-hmm. I look at something that somebody will write and I'm like, Okay.
Do you categorically take the opposite side?
No, not always, no.
Okay.
No, I think for myself.
Well, that's great.
That's what I try
and
to
that's
do.
How it
that's
should
not
be.
Allowed in this business, but it's allowed in the corner of the, that I'm in. Hmm. In the corner of the business that I'm in, it's allowed. In the larger business, it's not really allowed. Mm-hmm. If you don't think the way everyone else thinks, you have to shut up. That's primarily what it is.
Right.
I mean, from what I've observed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I learned that certain topics can result in fewer ticket sales. Like if I dive into politics, if I reveal where I stand on issues.
Right.
People will get upset. I'll lose money from it.
Yeah.
Because if let's say the Barstool audience is, I don't know, predominantly one way versus another, and they aren't.
Right.
You know, if I write one blog about Christine Blasey Ford, that was just such a hot topic, hot button topic.
Yeah. I have the same thing where it's not politics, but it's satanic pedophile cults. If I don't talk about them, the people get angry. If I don't bring them up, people get very heated. And if I do bring them up, people go, finally, thank Christ.
I've had three topics
that
have caused
chaos.
Extreme reactions.
Yeah.
One was the Blasey Ford trial.
Yes.
One was one time
when
I
dressed up as Clarence Thomas last year for Halloween. Did blackface in a fat suit.
Yeah, and then the next day as
with Anita Hill.
As
a doll.
Right. By the way, one of his lawyers was a guy named Joel Paul. One of her lawyers, excuse me.
Oh.
And he was openly gay.
Yeah.
And is my sister's godfather.
Interesting.
And he received death
threats. See, Roy Cohn, Joel Paul, the good ones.
Yeah, exactly.
It's for the smarter members of our audience.
The other one was I wrote a blog about pit bulls.
Yeah.
And the pit bull lobby came after me.
Because they are violent.
They are.
They're violent killers. That's what I like about them. But they will rip up a three-year-old's face.
That's
remember
exactly
that show, Pit Bulls and Parolees?
Yes.
You know what would have been a good image, a good look? Pit bulls and people who've never been accused of a crime. Pit bulls and law-abiding citizens. But instead, they tried to rehabilitate the image of the pit bull by putting them with criminals, hardened killers, pit bulls and parolees. This guy beat the shit out of his girlfriend. Now, who's here to comfort him? This beautiful dog.
Right.
So you wrote about pit bulls and then people got mad at you.
Pit bull owners came after me.
Fuck you. And listen, I like the pit bull, but it's a murderer. That's why I like the pit bull.
It's a murdering machine.
I like looking at a pit. Pit bulls are not... They're vicious killers. You look at them and you go, you want to be tearing apart a toddler. It's usually some white girl walking down the street in Brooklyn with one. And she's like, this is Sapphire or something disgusting. Mm-hmm. And then you look at the dog and you're like, oh, this is a vicious monster. But I'm not saying ban them.
Are you going to get heat for what you just said?
No.
You won't hear back from
God,
people.
You should hear what I said last episode. No, I mean... No, because I started the show by going, a genuine, am I going to go on InfoWars in 2 weeks?
Right.
A genuine, are me and Alex Jones going to eat barbecue in Texas? That was the beginning of the show. That is not a joke. It is not a bit. It is genuinely a thing that could happen. So no, I don't think the pit bull comment.
Well, fair. Okay.
It's going to really do anything. Can you believe what he said about pit bulls? He's a dude. He's on InfoWars right now.
I envy that.
Right. You're also making big money. You work for an institution. You're an elite.
I'm attached to a brand.
You're an elite. You're just that guy. You know what I mean? It's a different experience. You're having a different experience in the world. Your entire mind is different.
Uh-huh.
You went to institutions like Harvard and Yale, to an extent, I mean, you can tell me if I'm wrong, Or to take very brilliant, smart people and then corral them into the mainstream of American thought.
It's an interesting point.
Yeah,
I will say that
conformity is. I'm not saying it's enforced, but there's something about those institutions that kind of streamline people. That's why a lot of the people in the government, a lot of these people go through these institutions. A lot of them have very similar points of view. One of the reasons I think Trump was this attractive candidate was because he was from outside of that system.
Right. And yet, you know, he went to Wharton.
Of course. And I mean, and I don't mean outside of that system. And I mean, I mean the appearance of being outside of the system.
And that's what he,
And, you know, exactly.
That was, so, I don't know though. I graduated in 2011.
Right.
And so that meant that I started in 2007.
Right.
And that was before, I was at the very end, right before student protests and sexual assault on campus. And political correctness and booing comedians and cutting their mics because they make a race joke on a college campus before NACA had battened down the hatches. All of that. I was before, right before that. Louis C.K. performed at Harvard when I was a senior.
Right.
And he wasn't holding, he wasn't pulling punches.
Right.
So I was like the last, you know, visitor to the flaming theme.
So if you went back
park.
Now, it would almost feel like a different place.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, did you see that the recent scandal they have is that Asian American students are suing the school
because they're being discriminated against.
Because there's a they think or there is a quota that the admissions committee has placed on the number of Asian American students that can be admitted.
Because Asians are smarter than everyone else. And if you just go by facts and numbers, the Asians are going to dominate.
That's right.
I mean, this is the reality, folks. I've been a Chinese supremacist for years. And there's nowhere to go other than you walk around Flushing and you go, carry on, good job. But no one cares. Where's my Charlottesville?
Mm-hmm.
Where do I get to express my appreciation for a group of people who are doing better than me?
Right. Well said. Well said. So, yes, and it's we're seeing it on a smaller level at Stuyvesant High School.
Yes,
in here in New York,
where they admitted 4 black children,
and it's 76% Asian, 23% white.
So it's 80% Asian, 23% white, and four black kids.
Yeah,
who are all in a band, but they're very talented. They're insanely talented. If you've seen the band, they're very, very good. I mean,
they came together naturally.
They weren't even put together. No Lou Pearlman stuff. They were just fucking in the pocket.
They saw each other over the sea of smaller heads of Asians.
Smaller Asian heads.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think about this? What do we do about it? I mean, if you just go with raw numbers, if you go with blind, you know, it's a thing in writer's rooms where it's like, which I've never wanted to be in a writer's room because it's, you know, 90% of them are filled with talentless hacks and demons. But for the most part, a lot of people go, we should just do blind submissions, where if you want to get hired for a show, you should just read the packet. Nobody knows who it's from. But then, how can you enforce diversity if you just have those packets that are, you know, just being, you know, if we just go on merit, we're going to maybe be in trouble because everybody hasn't had equal footing. Everybody hasn't had the same background. Everybody has not had the same opportunities. That's the argument on the other side. That because everybody has not had the equal, then we need to look at more than just the numbers.
Well, here's the idealist argument.
Yeah.
Which would be that there are enough or are plenty of talented minority writers now that you can staff based on merit and hopefully end up with a diverse writing room.
Sure, but as you've seen with Stuytown, that didn't happen.
But that's
Stuyvesant town.
Yeah,
Stuyvesant school.
Do you think that an applicant class for a freshman high school, freshman applicant class, we can extend that to a writing room in Hollywood?
I'm saying that if you have a group of people like white people who've been systemically advantaged and have maybe been in writers' rooms before, know a little bit more of the game, know what people are looking for, not all of them, but you have a lot of people that have had that inherent advantage, they probably are more likely to get staffed than people who, for a lot of reasons, historic or whatever, may be outside of that sphere of influence.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. That's the argument. I don't have strong opinions on this stuff because, again, it's never been my goal to sit in a writer's room and write for a show that I don't give a fuck about. I don't know how these things get staffed. I watch half of these shows. I'm like, wait, there's a writer's room? But I will say that going forward in society, this has been a huge problem for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Certain people are like, we need to have diversity at all costs. Certain people are like, we just need to go by raw numbers, raw data. I don't know how to solve those.
Well, yeah. Let me ask you a slightly different question.
Though. Absolutely.
So
I think Hitler was trying. No, I'm kidding. Go.
He wanted me.
Yeah. He wanted you.
Yeah.
He would have tolerated me. He would have been like, get on a treadmill. Yeah.
He would have paid your gym membership.
Yeah. Yeah. He would have said, clean it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Many of my listeners are insane. This is something that we know, and this is something that we support. You know, crazy people are more fun. Not always. Not if you're married to them or in business with them or you're their kid, as my mother is schizophrenic. But too bad for her, because BetterHelp is here. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? Let's be honest. There is. And if so, BetterHelp Online Counseling is here for you. They offer licensed professional counselors who specialize in issues like depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, anger, family conflict, self-esteem, and more. BetterHelp lets you connect with a professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. Chat room, baby. You're getting help. Anything you share is confidential. They're not going to tweet it out. They're not going to make a meme and put it on Instagram. That's what I'd fucking do. But they're not, because they're trained professionals. Okay? They're not going to live stream all your problems, put them out there into the for the internet. No. They're keeping it close to the vest. It's so convenient. You can get your own. You can get help now at your own time in your own place. You don't have to leave your apartment. You don't want to anyway. You probably can't because you're afraid of light. So you could just sit cocooned and get the help you need. People, professionals to help you finally reach the door, turn the handle, get out there and start lighting the world on fire. Not literally. Don't burn things down. Metaphorically. Going on job interviews. That's what I mean. With BetterHelp, you can schedule secure or video phone sessions plus chat and text with your therapist. Secure video phone sesh, chat, anything you need to do. Therapy is essential for so many people. So many of my friends that I know would benefit from therapy, myself included. But people don't have the time, okay? It's expensive. Ubers are fucking crazy money. The trains don't fucking work in New York City. Maybe wherever you are is a similar situation. It's not financially, it doesn't really make sense for you to travel to see a therapist. With BetterHelp, okay, you don't have to do any of that. If you're not happy with your therapist, you can request a new one at any time. So no additional charge. Best of all, BetterHelp is truly affordable. Get 10% off your first month by going to betterhelp.com/Tim Dillon. Okay? I actually did this. I was curious about the service, and I said to myself, what's going on here? Are these people actually good? I got to be honest with you. They are good. These are real professionals. They're real doctors. If you have questions about things, they will actually help you out. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a professional counselor you'll love. BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/Tim Dillon. You get 10% off your first month. And I'm a user, folks. I'm a user and I love it. I love BetterHelp. I love it. It's got my personal endorsement. So fucking go and get help, you crazy fuck.
Every manager, excuse me, and casting director or potential career guider that I have met with has told me I won't get hired.
Yeah.
Not because of my work, but because of what I look like and who I am.
Right.
What is your solution for me?
The pirate ship, the thing that I'm on. Being okay. Entertaining. What you're already doing it. Mm-hmm. You're already doing it. I mean, but because you're an elite, you want the respect of the other elites.
That's true.
You want the respect. You want to be at the Emmy, sit next to Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon. You want all of that. So then I don't know. I can't tell you how to go that route. To me, the guys I love, Patrice O'Neal, Bill Hicks, it had nothing to do with any of that. Those guys were never in any of those rooms. I love them because they had an opinion, said what they wanted to say. But if you want Hollywood's respect, I don't know. I mean, you got to wait it out. You got to say, you know, the white guys that are working right now get on Twitter every day and they're like, white people should be in a grave. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know what I mean? Like, they've positioned themselves as the most left-wing person mm-hmm. imaginable so that they can keep their job. That seems to be the way that they've positioned themselves.
Right.
But you looking the way you do, coupled with the fact that you work at Barstool Sports, it is tougher to get the respect of those people. But the move for you is to just DIY, straight up indie, straight up doing it yourself, being your own brand, having people like you, putting out stuff you like.
Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, it's going to be if, and I understand, you're like, well, I went to Harvard, so I wanted, all the other guys go to Harvard, they write for The Tonight Show, or they write for SNL. Yeah, I don't know. That is tough.
Yeah,
start talking about how you want to drown your mother's white face in the tub because she's a colonist bitch. Be like, I look at my neo-colonialism. As I sit here at Thanksgiving, I think only of neo-colonialism. Boy, I'd love to bash my mother's head in with a rock. I don't know. I mean, go that route. That's what a lot of them do. I look at my white family and I see the blood of Native Americans and many other oppressed peoples, you know? So this year, we're giving all of our food to who, I don't know. I mean, just, this is, you know.
I tried volunteering at a charter school in Brooklyn.
Disgusting.
It was
charter school. That's where they make them wear the suits?
No.
Oh.
No. Were they children?
Charter schools, don't they make them wear a suit or a little sweater?
All charter schools are different. I mean, the charter just like has its own mission, right?
So, right.
This one was a very bad one.
Okay.
But meaning the makeup of the students was quite troubled.
Right.
Because the charter of this charter school was to rehabilitate.
Fuck shit up.
Rehabilitate students who had failed out or had been expelled from all the local public schools.
Oh, this is the Luis J. Gomez school. I've heard about this.
It was like
this.
A last
yes.
chance type okay. place.
So now you're volunteering.
Yeah.
I always try to volunteer, but I don't think I would help the kids.
Yeah, I don't know if I made a difference.
Yeah, I think I would make it potentially worse, but I really believe, I'd be honest, I don't know if what I have to say is...
Right. Well, yeah. So I went thinking, because I used to tutor. That was like my thing while I was doing stand-up, and I went thinking that I would help individual students that I would tutor here and there, and they just immediately gave me an entire class of students to teach geometry to.
Okay.
And because they were wildly understaffed. So I had 15 students and four of my eight girls, 16-year-old girls, were pregnant.
Wow.
And it was pretty intense. And like the fathers were in the class. Like some of the fathers were in the class.
Why are the fathers in the class?
Because they were also 16. They were the ones
oh!
who
the girl's father. The father of the baby. So you're teaching children. A family geometry. That's what you're doing.
An expectant family
you're
of geometry.
You're teaching a family geometry.
Yeah, and it just seems so ridiculous to teach isosceles triangles to people that women, girls who were tired because of, you know, prenatal stress and whatnot.
Yeah. So
I'd never experienced that with my white Upper East Side families that were paying me, you know, $300 an hour.
Of course. Now, what is your takeaway from that?
Well, I will say that in spite of the fact that something like 60% of the students at the school had at least one family or a parent that was incarcerated or some insane number, that they still wanted to learn. They wanted to learn, but they also just didn't have study
we
skills.
Do a horrible job with education in this country.
Yeah.
The fault, I think, is not any one group of people, but if I had to put my finger on a group of people whose jobs are easy, whose lives are easy, who are overpaid, I would say that public enemy number one in this country for me is teachers. And they always have been. And they always have been. They are lazy, sloths. They are summer enthusiasts. I refuse to even call them teachers. I go, oh, you're a summer enthusiast. First of all, get back in the room and fucking work. The fuck you are taking off. The fuck you are taking off. We got a crisis. Everybody in the school is pregnant, and you're going to run around and go to Spain and eat tapas while the world falls apart? No, I'm kidding. Listen, I'm not really kidding. I'm in the middle there, folks. I get a lot of messages about, well, teachers, yeah. Hey, shut up. My grandmother was a teacher. She was a great fucking teacher. Every generation after her has been fucking worse. Go meet a teacher out there. They're retarded. My friend's wife's a teacher. She's that, she's retarded. And she's a teacher. She literally has no idea where she is at any given moment. And we have to sit back and say that this person is the hardest job in the world because she goes to some suburban school. And the worst thing that fucking happens is some kid that doesn't like what's going on in his life. Fucking, you know, you take two in the chest, whatever. Listen, my heart goes out. So what are we going to do with these teachers? They're lazy and entitled.
Yeah.
But I mean, a lot of it is also the parents, right?
I think the
make those children get abortions before they go into the school. Am I wrong? Make them get abortions in the morning. Do the kids want the kids?
I think at the very least.
Are the dads like excited? Like they're going to be like, that's my son.
No, they're not at all.
Right. Everybody's right. Then present
the literature to them. Certainly.
The literature.
Yeah. Give them.
No. They can't read. Take them for the abortion. You drive them to Planned Parenthood.
You cannot
present the literature.
Charter schools are technically.
Put them in a van and let's flush it.
Your words. Your words, not mine. But sure,
this is time
that would
for the
be
ad
an option.
For Bear Mountain Maple Syrup now. Go and buy Bear Mountain Maple. But you know what I'm saying.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm making a pro woman. This is pro women. This is pro women.
I don't know if a lot of women would jump on board with this, the terms that you delivered just now.
What, flush it? You should see some of the people that have abortions. They write these Twitter threads and they try to be as graphic and grotesque as possible because they want to bother everyone.
Right.
It's true. They hop on Twitter and they're like, I stabbed it in its head because I'm a woman. And everybody's like, Aspach, Asquin. I'm saying, good. Just if you're in a geometry class, you got to flush it. Give them a pill. Pill under the tongue. There's got to be a non-invasive way to do it. Maybe there's not.
Use the compass we use to draw circles.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have tried.
This poor guy is so nervous.
No, it's just not for me.
You have the same manager. My manager's going to be like, what'd you do? Francis is upset. He doesn't want the
episode. I'm not upset. Hey.
He doesn't want the episode released.
Do you know how badly I long to be on your side of the table?
Yeah. What do you mean?
Just to have that... there was a time when I had the freedom that you do.
Yeah.
But then you get an audience and then you can't.
Well, I don't know if that's the case.
Opens up and your work becomes visible to more people.
But I think you have I have an audience, but I don't. Yours is larger, but yours is also, you have a brand.
Mm-hmm.
This is a different thing than just having an audience. Mm. You're attached to a brand.
Someone told me.
Are you really held hostage by your audience? Do you feel like you can't say something?
No, not at all.
I feel liberated
by my audience.
Right. The audience is going to be the one that saves you.
Yes.
The brand is where you have the trouble.
And I honestly, the brand is pretty, it's just to go for it.
But I think it's part of, here's what it is. It's the elitism. It's the quality of wanting the respect of people that might not agree with the thing you say.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it comes down to. Between me and you and the listeners. I think that's kind of what it is.
Say that one more time.
It's the idea that you really want to be in these upper echelons of the Hollywood whatever. And you want respect from people and institutions that may have a problem. They might pull up this podcast and go, oh, we don't like what this guy said. And that would bother you because maybe they're going to write you a very big check one day and maybe
that's it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's that I want to be sitting next to Jimmy Fallon at the Oscars or whatever.
Right.
Necessarily. That's not what I'm envisioning. To me, it's more it's just monetary success.
Don't go on Legion of Skanks. I'll tell you that much. monetary success. But my question is, there's so many ways to make money now. Is it worth it to be censored and nervous all the time?
No, but
I get it. You're a new
guy. I don't want to shoot myself in the foot before I know what I'm doing.
And you're not known to a lot of other comedians, probably, and you don't want to rub them the wrong way.
That's very true.
Right, yeah. Right. You're new. There's a whole group of comics out there.
I was shocked to see the message from you. I did not know if you had any idea who I was.
No, we did a couple of shows together, and you're a funny guy, and I think you're an interesting guy, and I wanted It's interesting to me. I didn't know you went to Harvard. Somebody told me you went to Harvard.
Hmm.
And I find all of that stuff interesting because a guy like you is looks at the world in a completely different way than I do. Completely, completely different. And by the way, not in a forced way. It's just our experiences are complete. I was doing coke at 13.
I've read. I used to read your Facebook posts.
Oh, yeah. It was
religiously.
Fun. I used to write on Facebook.
They were unbelievable.
Yeah.
They were the good. Only thing worth reading on Facebook.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Facebook is.
But I agree. I started having those meetings and I kind of toned down a lot of the stuff I was doing. And then I've been having these meetings for 2 years and I got to a point and I had a conversation the other day and somebody was like, just fucking be you.
Yeah.
And, you know, and this,
well, you are finding success with that now.
Yeah. Like, and they were like, you can't fucking not be you. You got to not give a fuck.
Yeah.
And that's why I connected with Rogan because Rogan was like, you don't give a fuck and that's great. And you're just doing what you're doing and that's the rawest, funniest stuff.
Right.
But I don't have any illusions. You know, I would still love to make a show. I have, you know, there's great things that, and it's not like I'm running around here being a neo-Nazi. I'm just funny.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying things that are funny. No, I don't think teachers are the biggest problem in the world, but that's a funny thing to hear. You know? It's a funny thing to hear. I also don't think they're saints walking around, you know.
Right.
You know.
But there is a major jump, major leap of faith between sort of testing the waters and seeing what you can get away with versus being at the terminal velocity of individuality that you have achieved where you can say anything and it all works together.
Well, I think part of it is that I am always honest. So if you're honest and you're raw and you let people know everything about you to a point where it's uncomfortable to let everyone know everything about you at all the time and everything about my family. I have people that aren't thrilled. I have family members that aren't thrilled that I say whatever. And I didn't like my family's Christmas. And I went on a real rant about it because I thought my stepmother and my father had failed in the stewardship of the holiday. And people didn't like that. People got angry with me, but this is how I do. This is the way that I fucking do it. So I think that because then people know you. If people know you, they know where you're coming from and they understand who you are and they know you're not a bad person.
Right.
They know that you could fail in the attempt in being funny. And I get people that get mad at me. I'll say something politically people don't like to email me or whatever. But at the end of the day, people are. But I think a lot of it is you have been at, you know, the school you went to, that is the apex of society.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different place. Being at the apex of society, one of the things you want to do is retain your position there.
Right.
I mean, this is the reality, right?
Yes.
It's the reality. So I think naturally, I don't even think it has anything to do with this business. I think it's just this is how somebody who have been in those circles, been in those places, you're naturally going to be a little more cautious than someone like me is. And there's nothing wrong with that. Somebody like me should not be working at the State Department. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like there needs to be, there's all kinds of different people for all kinds of different things. I think that's almost more, your friends primarily people that went to schools like yours?
Well, yes.
Right. I mean, honestly.
But, because now, you know, I've got different like casts of friends.
Sure.
I've got my work friends.
Sure.
And they don't really relate to me that well.
Right.
I don't even think they like me very much.
Really?
Objectively.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I learned I had to play the character that we're talking about.
Right.
I had to play up the douchebag Harvard kid, the silver spoon entitled elitist person. And Barstool's brand for so long has been by the common man for the common man. And I was sort of thrust into that role and found it way easier and funnier when someone would tweet at me like, fuck you entitled bitch. Like, you're just a silver spoon trust fund baby. And I'd be like, wow, I mean, imagine if only your parents had worked harder than
But that's fun. That's a funny response.
Right. I might be reading your material as opposed to the
way it is
now.
That's a great response.
And that was what would gain traction. People liked that.
Right, but you got sick of that.
Well, no, I'm living more in that now.
Yeah.
But I will tell you that when you constantly keep that tone, your coworkers and your friends who are not seeing, who do not have that, and relate more to an audience of, you know, being common man for the common man or whatever.
Right.
They don't know if you're being serious or not.
Right. Okay.
And they don't. They start to have a hard time knowing.
So guys, like I don't know too many of them, but like that kid, Barstool Pat, that guy.
Yeah, you know Pat?
I know.
He's my producer on our series show.
Yeah, he's a good dude. He's a guy that fought the other guy.
Yeah.
Right. I know that guy. I don't know him that well, but I know him. That kid Robbie.
Robbie Fox. Yeah.
Yeah, him. What is their background? These are regular people.
Robbie
right?
Fox is a perfect example. He's 20 years old.
Right.
He was going to a community college in New Jersey.
That's what it appears.
He was brought in to be a producer.
Yeah.
I think he was an intern.
Right.
He was producing this golf podcast, but he hated doing that. And then he went to our boss one day, and he was a 19-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And he said, I really want to write about wrestling and mixed martial arts. And they were like, okay, good luck. And he started doing it, and he was good at it.
Tenacious.
Yes.
Wanted to make it happen.
And he's a Star Wars fanatic, and that's his realm, those three things. And he's done a great job.
That's awesome. Yeah.
But he and I don't like have a lot in common.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I'm a decade older.
Right.
I have a full college degree, and I did stand up until I got, and tutored. And I've kind of had a very different life story, as you mentioned.
Yeah. Do you feel like stand-up comedians like you?
Some do. I think once they meet me and spend time with me, they're like, he's not as bad as I expected him to be.
Right, right.
I don't know. We'll see. I'm relying on your referral, or not referral, your appraisal of me after this.
No, I think
to bolster my ranking.
No, you don't need me to bolster your ranking. It's anybody that, you know, Geraldo went to Harvard. You know, you never knew it, but he went to Harvard. He was, you know, one of the best there's ever been.
Yeah.
I mean, I always make fun of just people that are at that level of society and want to do stand-up. I think it's great. I mean, it's hilarious to me.
There
it's
are like, a few. Yeah. Colin Jost.
Yes, 100%.
Obviously. I mean, he's what I
think that,
picture.
So that world is very, like the idea that you go from hard, like the Harvard Lampoon to a writing job to a thing like that, to me is, Colin's the greatest guy in the world. Mm-hmm. He's funny and nice guy. But generally speaking, that's a very interesting, that's a different way. That's a route.
Yeah,
a lot
that's
of people
not
take
what
that
happened.
Route. That wasn't my route.
No.
And a lot of the people that I know, it's not their route. But it is a route. Will you work at Barstool forever, you think? You don't know? I mean,
It's tough for me to say.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I have no idea if there will be a place for me at the company indefinitely.
Right. You just really want to get to LA and start carving up bodies in a basement. That's the look you have. You're like, I just want to get to LA, big house in Santa Monica Canyon, couple of rooms where no one can hear the screams.
That sounds ideal.
Yeah.
It's hypoallergenic flooring.
Of course.
And that's expensive. Heated. Yeah. Hypoallergenic.
What do your parents think about what you're doing?
Well, they are supportive, especially now that I am supporting myself.
Right, of course.
And I always did through tutoring.
Right.
I found a way to make a living tutoring, so I never had to ask them for anything.
That's great.
But now they're surprised because people come up to them and know and say, "Hey, I know your son. I like his work."
My parents are very, they're going to be very surprised when people go, "Was your son on InfoWars?" we just saw your son and Alex Jones.
How do you reconcile his putting out the what is it? The crisis actors idea for what happened in Sandy Hook. That to me was the one thing that was I couldn't get past. Past. Because you mentioned kids are the line for you.
Well, 100%. So what I think happens when you're in that world, you're in the conspiracy world. I've done a lot of podcasts about conspiracies. I've had a lot of people on the show that have written some books that have said some pretty wild things. And a lot of those people I find to be credible. And some of the things that I believe people have said on the show I find to be credible, but they would, in polite society, get you exiled. You know what I mean? They would make people go, wait, what? So I come at it from the place of somebody who always questions the mainstream narrative responsibly, and I certainly don't come down on the side that you have crisis actors at Sandy Hook, but there's been enough situations and there's been enough events throughout history, Gulf of Tonkin, whatever. We could go through all of them. We're Boston Marathon bombing, where the authorities' first inclination is to advance a narrative that's untrue. you know, in the Boston Marathon bombing, like, well, we don't know who Tamerlan Tsarnaev and Dzhokhar Tsarnaev are. And then Russian intelligence came out and goes, yeah, you do, because we told you who they were. And then the FBI has to revise it and go, oh, yeah, well, we did, and we were actually kind of keeping tabs on them. And, like, so when enough of those things happen and you pay close enough attention, I think you can become suspicious of everything in an unhealthy way. And I think what probably happened to Alex is his job is to look at these events, or it's the job that he gave himself, and advance possibilities that are the opposite of what you're hearing. Some of those possibilities are going to sound insane, but in the same way that after, you know, after the Abu Ghraib things came out, had you come out the next day and said, this is a coordinated torture program designed by the Defense Department with psychologists, and we're renditioning and flying people to foreign countries and torturing them, people would have said you're a conspiracy theorist. You would have been laughed off Good Morning America, the Today Show, out of the editorial pages, the New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal. And now we know that to be everything that I just said is a fact. That is literally what was happening. And it was called our government, whether it was Rumsfeld or Bush, I forget the quote, was a few bad apples. Maybe it was Cheney. I forget who said it. A few bad apples was the quote. Literal top-down torture program designed and instituted with doctors and everything. So yes, I do not support the idea that Sandy Hook didn't happen, or that it was a false flag. I don't think everything is a false flag. I'm not one of those people. And I certainly think Alex did the wrong thing there. He made a grave error. And I think some of the people that followed him went and did horrible things to these families. And that's completely disgusting. They should be in jail. It's harassment. There's no... there's no defense of that.
Yeah.
And I think what Alex did was unequivocally wrong. But I also come from a place where he realizes that that was wrong. He realizes that he shouldn't have said it. He's been a guy that has made some sloppy, reckless statements. And, you know, should we live in a world where you're allowed to make sloppy, reckless statements and not be exiled from society? I think probably we should. But yeah, I think he regrets saying what he said.
Has he ever mentioned that? Has he
said that
he regrets saying
that? Yeah, he did a 5-hour podcast with Joe Rogan where he took 20 minutes out of the podcast to discuss this and apologize. And again, it doesn't make it right. Mm-hmm. The apology doesn't make it right. The apology doesn't give any comfort to the families.
Right.
But I will say that the flip side of it seems to be, well, we should just believe the government narrative all the time. And I found that to be the wrong way to go. When I see enough historical examples of people being lied to. So that's where I come down on it. He did not do the right thing. He is unequivocally wrong. And I think he has to be more careful in the position he's in.
Got it.
I want to tell you about Wix. Many of you fail at everything you do. And the reason, a lot of people say it's because you're a drug addict, you're drunk, you're delusional, you don't have any talent, you have no work ethic, you're bad to people, you have a bad attitude, your parents were bad, you were molested as a child, you have many neurological problems that have gone undiagnosed, you have ADD. I don't think it's any of that. I think it's you don't have a fucking website. That's your problem. All the other things may and are true, but you don't have a website, and Wix.com is the place to create professional websites. Wix makes it easy, okay? You want to deliver organic meals to dogs in Bushwick? Is that your dream? People got to know what the fuck's going on. Start from scratch or choose from over 500 stunning templates. They have the world's most innovative drag and drop website builder, so you can easily customize your site, add text, images, videos, whatever you want. In fact, you can even use their Wix ADI, artificial design intelligence, so you don't have to do anything. Answer a few simple questions about who you are and what you want, and ADI will create a stunning website for you. You want proof? Go to timdillonsgoingtohell.com. It's a killer website. Beautiful. Easy, easy, easy to do. We put the website together and it looks great. Many of you want to get out there. You want to, you know, interface with the world. You want to fucking show people that you're the shit. You want to be a brand. You want to be a fucking brand? You want to be Kylie Jenner? Is that what you want to be? The fuck right it is. You want to be Kylie Jenner? She's worth $1 billion because she's fucking selling jeans. I don't know what she does. The point is she's got $1 billion. Why? Because she has a website. There's a website. It's probably not Wix. It doesn't matter. You start with Wix and you keep doing it and then you become Kylie Jenner. How many fucking times do I have to tell you people? You got to start. The best plan is to start. Okay? I mean, yeah, Kylie Jenner's got all kinds of bells and whistles. You can't afford that. You ain't Kylie Jenner, you fucking idiot. Your family's not a $1 billion dynasty that's fucking face fucking everybody on every social media platform. No, you're a goon with a dream like me. Wix.com, folks. It's free to build your website. If you click the link at the bottom of TimDillonsGoingToHell.com, I'm telling you this right now. Go to TimDillonsGoingToHell.com. You get 10% off any premium plan. Click the link at the bottom. Go to TimDillonsGoingToHell.com. You get 10% off any premium plan. In all seriousness, a lot of my friends have Wix websites. It's a great place to get your content out there, whatever you do. You're a photographer, writer, comedian, actor, musician, small business, chef, whatever you're trying to do, real estate agent, finance guy, whatever you're trying to do. Seriously, this is easy. It's inexpensive. It gets your content out there. It tells people where to fucking find you. And then eventually you start building up. You start really fucking making money. You turn around 6 months from now, you're Kylie fucking Jenner. And it all started with Wix. So go to TimDillonsGoingToHell.com. Click the link at the bottom of that page. 10% off any premium plan. Thank you.
Do you pick and choose? It sounds like you are responsible in how you sort of examine these conspiracy theories.
Yes.
And I think that's totally fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because I think the responsibility is on me if I'm not going to accept the mainstream party line narrative about an event. I have to cross-reference the information. I have to read a lot of people. I have to do my due diligence. I have to make sure that the people I'm reading are credible, that they've done actual work. You know, the people that I've had on this show have spent 5-7 years looking into one topic and written a novel. And that novel did not make them, not a novel, a book. And that did not make them a lot of money, and it hurt their personal and professional reputation. So I have to look at, number one, this guy's not advancing his career doing this. Number two, it's taken, you know, a very long time. Here's 500 pages of endnotes and sources. And then logically think about, you know, okay, now that I'm reading this material, let me go and source it myself and then look at some of the documents they're looking at and being like, wow, I wonder if this could happen or that could happen. But yeah, to me, there's a responsible way to do it. I think Alex, because he's such a showman, gets caught up in, ladies and gentlemen, and then you're like halfway down the road before you realize your foot's on the gas.
Yes.
Yeah.
I understand that, and that has always been his tone and his delivery. I do think,
but a lot of people are just don't care. Like a lot of people, I'll bring up the Boston Marathon bombing, and I'm like, "Well, the FBI just lied to us." A lot of people go, "You know." So to me, I'm like, "Well, that's a problem."
Yes, but I think that was. I mean, I can really differentiate between the government mishandling information and possibly lying about how they let a guy slip through their cracks.
Okay.
Versus propagating the idea that children at a school were not actually shot by, or whatever. Listen, it was.
That seems to be the one thing now that everybody has in their pocket to go, well that's unequivocally wrong. I think it's also wrong for the government, when people have died, to come out and lie to people about the fact that they knew who these perpetrators of this event were prior to the day that it happened, that they had some relationship with them. That is a falsehood, and that is something that should not take place. That doesn't mean that Alex Jones was right to say the children didn't die, But when something like that happens, or in the case of torture, or in the case, I mean, these are many people do not know how these organizations work. The FBI and the CIA, places like this, they're not public institutions. The people there aren't elected. And their relationship with the press is the CIA admitted to destroying tapes of interrogations. They admitted to, they were tapping the Senate Intelligence Committee. Mm-hmm. They were listening to these are problems in a democracy. If you want to have a democracy or something that purports to be a democracy, when you have an unelected group of people carrying on in this fashion, mm-hmm. and there's no accountability, that becomes a problem. So I don't think, when you say like, well, I could differentiate between are you saying that like, well, the government's mishandling information, so they should be allowed to? Is that your argument? Like, well, hey, I can differentiate between the government mishandling information, maybe not wanting to admit they made an oopsie,
right,
and this guy. And it terrifies me more that the government is lying to us. This guy in Austin, Texas, in an industrial park, live streaming, should be held to a lesser standard than the FBI.
Sure. So I think I read The Looming Tower, which about 9/11.
Yeah.
And what I learned from that was that the major problem was that the FBI and the CIA were not sharing information.
Sure.
And there was a real suspicion of the other organization to mishandle information. And,
sure.
And because of that, potentially 9/11 could have been avoided, you might
sure.
say. And that's what people might say. But I don't know, like, is that a lie and a mistake by the government?
What?
That, we...
No, we're talking about 2000... when was the marathon bombing? 2007? I don't know, 2009? We're talking about years after that.
Yeah, right.
The government
saying
we don't know who these guys are. And by the way, that's not the only instance of them lying. We're talking about 2004. I mean, there's a lot of instances mm-hmm. of the government being less than truthful.
Yes.
And, especially these intelligence agencies being less than truthful. So, is it... Yes, Alex Jones has said some crazy things. Is it crazy to imagine that the CIA has lied? I mean, it's lied throughout its history. It sponsored coups in other countries. It's assassinated foreign leaders. These are not theories. These are all, pretty well-established facts. So people that look at this stuff and they're a little skeptical, I don't necessarily think they're wrong.
Got it.
Yeah. But I understand, again, I think we probably come at it from different places.
Yeah. Do you know?
Because I think you're like, well, the people shouldn't have the information. And you might be right. You won't admit that.
No, I'm not.
But that's the reality. Is you go, the people, me and my friend should have the information. These guys shouldn't. You might not be wrong, but that is the way. I think that's where you come. That's the way you come at it.
Yeah. The thing is that I don't know what I would do if I had that information.
So some fucking truck driver in Ohio certainly shouldn't have it. In your estimation,
I mean, how can I change the course of events?
I'm just saying, you don't seem to expect, or like the government dealing honestly with the people, you go, eh.
I do believe that I have to have faith in our system of government.
Oh God, what a great, this guy's fascinating to me.
Because if I don't,
it's so fascinating.
Then where are we?
Wow, that's it, folks. There it is. And that's why he went to Harvard. That's why he's so successful. That's what you need to do to be successful in this system.
But I don't.
To be a free thinking person in this system is to effectively be insane.
But I
literally.
Don't.
I mean,
don't,
it's effectively to be a crazy person.
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't.
Let me ask you a question.
Think I'm right.
Right.
Necessarily.
When you say,
I know there's right. truth to what you're saying.
When you say you have to believe.
Because if I don't, I would become so anxious about it that I would lose my mind.
Interesting.
And I know that
you couldn't just accept that we live in a complicated
world. I would start looking everywhere. I would want to fix it. I would start looking and I might even change careers.
Well, by the way, I support that. And that's anyone that wants to get out of this business, I support.
I applied for the CIA out of college. I wanted to work there. I had an idea.
Maybe
I
they got
Middle
you.
Eastern
Maybe
politics.
You're in the CIA's Barstool Sports Division.
Yes, that's a nice crossover.
But that's where I think me and you do you don't question the system because you feel the need to. And by the way, this is not a knock at all. A lot of friends I have that are like this. It's almost like, why uncover the rock? You don't want to know what's under it.
But that sounds irresponsible.
It might be, but things have worked out for you, and this is the way. So things have been good.
So maybe that's why I have this.
I mean, if you were sitting in a private prison
in Abu Ghraib, yeah, of course,
or in America, in Chicago, the black site they have in Chicago where they just. People from the south side and west side of Chicago, cops not reading them their Miranda rights, just throwing them in this building, beating the shit out of them, trying to get answers. So I think it depends where you are on the totem pole type thing.
I agree.
Yeah.
But see, this is, I mean, now we're getting into this territory of you can't make a race joke because you haven't experienced that.
No, I don't think this has to do with race per se.
No, but I'm saying
a lot of white people that question the system because they are just, their DNA leads them down that path and yours doesn't, and that's okay.
But I don't know that my soft lifestyle and background is the reason why.
No, I don't think it is.
I can sleep at night without worrying that the government is
fucking me. I think it's just the way that you're configured. Like, we're all configured different ways. Like, you're configured to be an elite. You're 6'5", you're good looking, you're athletic. These are things that, literally.
I would say I'm hopeful.
You're hopeful. A lot of my humor comes from the fact that I'm suspicious and I'm cynical. And I look at things and go, wait a minute. I don't buy the, when somebody says something to me, I go, I remember being 8 years old and sitting in a church. And I have friends that were raised very Christian. And when they tell me how much that fucked them up, it's hard for me to believe because I never believed any authority figure. I used to sit in church when I was 9, Catholic church. Now, obviously, Catholic's not as big as Christianity, but still, you would sit there and I'd hear the priest and I'm like, he's full of shit. It just came so naturally to me to just go, that guy's full of shit. What does he know? Uh-huh. What does that guy know? Why does he? Because he has a robe? Because he's standing up there? What does he know? So to me, that's my DNA.
Okay.
I'm wired to question and go, I don't think this is the way things are. I think it's a lot more complicated than we think. I don't think everyone in the government's bad. I don't think everyone in the CIA or FBI is bad. I think there are rogue groups of people in those agencies that do things that are not in the interest of the American people.
Yeah.
And I think they do it to make money. I think they do it for all kinds of reasons.
But here's the question.
Yeah.
Do you think that something on the scale of a 9/11?
Yeah.
That the government could have had a hand in orchestrating
this. I wouldn't say had a hand. I think it gets more complicated than had a hand in it. I think we were lied to about, for example, the role that Saudi Arabia played in the attacks. Institutional financing and support was not well known. The government invaded two countries that had really not a ton to do with the financing or support for the 9/11 attacks. We've been in those countries, Afghanistan, 19 years? I mean, 18 years? So if you just look at that, you're the guy, I think it was James Keene, I forget, who said about the 9/11 commission, we weren't really being given all the information. Again, I don't think the government sitting there with a control remote controller pressing a button, having planes go into buildings, but I don't feel like we've been dealt with honestly about the 9/11 attack. No, because they didn't even want to set up a commission. The government didn't want to set up a commission. Mm. When they were dragged to doing it, Bush and Cheney testified together, sitting next to each other. Imagine two kids accused of a prank at a school. I mean, let's just take it to the lowest level, and they're like, I can't testify without my buddy sitting next to me. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Sure.
That's an insane thing that people just go, okay. I mean, what are they concealing? Are they concealing embarrassment? Are they concealing? I don't know what they're doing. I don't, in a mature society, where the president cannot fucking testify without his buddy sitting next to him, I'm worried. I'm worried.
Did you watch the Dick Cheney movie?
Yeah.
I just watched it.
Not great.
You didn't like it?
No, it's not good. Lost a lot of money. No one liked it. Did you like it?
I didn't mind it. I thought Christian Bale was tremendous as Dick Cheney.
Phenomenal.
That was what
he did
I
a great
was
job.
Kind of focusing on.
Yeah.
But I thought the propaganda side of it was a little heavy-handed.
Do you don't put it past an element of the government to be covering up, maybe fucking up, or covering.
That, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I cannot
yeah.
reconcile the ideas of...
Do you know about Operation Northwoods, where they, I mean, these are government documents where it came out that the government was considering, I mean, elements of the CIA were considering blowing up a ship with real American tourists on it and blaming it on Castro and blaming it on Cuba
as I don't a pretext know. To I've invade never heard Cuba. Of that. No.
I mean, these are real documents. I mean, these are things you should... The Gulf of Tonkin was essentially fake. Didn't happen. We got into one of the bloodiest wars in history, and so many people died based on something that did not happen. The Gulf of Tonkin was
right.
bullshit. It was complete bullshit. In a world where those things happen, is it crazy to question? I mean, look at what we've done since 9/11. I'm not saying we did 9/11. I'm saying look at what's happened since 9/11. The national security state, all of the new surveillance things, all of the rights people gave up, the 20-year-long wars, mm-hmm. the people that got rich. Do you think everyone who questions it is a crackpot or a Looney Tune?
No.
Yeah.
Not at all. But I think that the guy who has, you know, who points to the heating temperature of steel in the towers and then has science yeah. for why it's cannot be
sure.
what we saw it yeah. to be.
I'm not an engineer. Those people were never persuasive. I deal with the facts on the ground. I deal with Bob Graham, a senator from Florida, being like, why are we covering up Saudi Arabia's role
mm-hmm.
in this attack?
Yeah, but we've always done that. I mean,
but it's not good. Was like, well, I've always raped or something, like, it's not a good, you have to
sure
half
but we know, was it 17 of the 19 hijackers 15 of the seven of the 19 yeah. hijackers were Saudi.
I mean, so here's another thing that I just find interesting, that I find weird. I remember that day, everybody was like, nobody could have imagined a plane going into a building. Did you remember hearing that? You were younger. I'm 34.
I was in seventh grade, yeah.
I remember hearing nobody could have imagined. People walking around, I think government officials had said this. Nobody could have imagined a plane going into a building. Nobody could have imagined it. That day, we had a war game simulating a plane being flown into the United Nations. It was called Vigilant Guardian. This was a war game. This is one of the reasons that the NORAD jets, you know, they were scrambled and they couldn't respond to any of the things. That day, we had a war game simulating the exact thing that was happening, with the difference between the fact that this was the World Trade Center and that was, again, I don't, it could be a coincidence. I'm sure it is. It is weird enough where if it happened in Russia, you would go, what the fuck?
Mm.
If it happened in another country, you would go, what the fuck? You have a war game simulating exactly what's happening. That's why in all the 9/11 tapes, you have people going, is this real world or exercise? Is this real world or exercise? Because there was an exercise simulating the exact. So you're like, well, it could be a coincidence. Terrorists picked a coincidental day. But I'm not saying that I have not done an extensive amount of research on this topic. I don't believe that it was a false flag, but this is what sends people down the road.
Mm-hmm.
This is what gets people thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is why people go, huh. You know, journalist Michael Hastings wrote The Runaway General, got Stanley McChrystal fired. Mm-hmm. Great investigative reporter, ends up crashing on, I forget the street, right outside of this restaurant I love in LA, Osteria Moza. Goes into a tree, his car. In the days before that, he said, I'm onto a big scoop. I got to go off the grid. And I think I'm being followed. I think people are fucking with my car. 3 days later, goes into a tree and explodes. Listen, I don't know what's going on. It could be a coincidence. But if it happened in Russia, you would go, Putin.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
But in America, everybody's like, well, everything's great.
I guess that's true. I don't know. I mean, I had thought, naively, that Watergate changed things, that the system of oversight was ratcheted up and that the government was held itself accountable for that.
Yeah, but that's what you're taught, and that's what people at Harvard are taught.
Yeah,
that's what people at Yale are taught, because it's important that you guys believe that, because we got to run the company. I get it. I'm a clown. I can, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not important that I believe. If you work at a company, they shove the bullshit down your throat. We do, you know, my friend works at a company called Bay Alarm, and every day they're like, it's the Bay way, the Bay, because this is what companies do. They enforce conformity. They seek to control you through displays of power and also displays like everybody's going to be on message. So that's what Harvard and Yale exist to do, get everybody on message. Yet the government's holding itself accountable. Everything's good. We're always trying to do the right thing. America's always trying to do the right thing. We just want to help in Syria.
I don't think that there was any propaganda classes that were taught.
No, of course not. There's no propaganda classes. It's the way that things are. It's just the way that you guys are corralled into this thing where the type of questions that you might ask or the type of roads you might go down would get you ostracized or laughed at in but in other countries, this is considered because the CIA has done horrific things.
Yeah.
They're very open to some of these possibilities.
I know that for a fact that within my immediate group of, let's say, 7 or 8 friends,
right,
that we left Harvard with myriad conclusions,
right,
about the way that the world worked.
Right.
Based mostly on the fact that we all studied different things.
Sure.
So I actually studied Middle Eastern politics, and I studied the Arab world.
Yeah.
And with a focus on the Arab-Israeli conflict.
Okay.
So
Barstool Sports going to do any videos on that?
I
they should
in
do
trouble.
An Arab-Israeli.
That was the third thing I got in trouble for was a
they
piece
should do
on
an Arab-Israeli.
Israel.
Yeah.
You know, I have friends that studied economics and philosophy and the classics and social studies and all kinds of applied math.
Sure.
And we have a group chat where across the board, not one person agrees with the other.
Right. But the agreements are actually probably, when you look at them, relatively minute. Because I bet there are certain premises that aren't questioned. I bet there are certain disagreements within Republicans and Democrats. There are certain disagreements, but then there's large-scale agreements on things.
That may be true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to know because the topics that come up are so weird.
Right.
And I don't know, but
add me to that group chat. You'll see.
That would be fun.
That would be wild. Francis Ellis, where can people find you?
Oh, I appreciate it.
People want to find you and tell you you're a cock. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
He's a great man. He came on here today. He's from Barstool Sports.
This was really fun. I work at Barstool. You can... Shit. My Twitter is at Francis C. Ellis. My Instagram is at Francis Barstool. I'll be at the Roar MGM.
Yeah.
Do you gamble, by the way?
No. You know, I do sometimes. Like, I'll play 3-card poker every now and then, or I'll play poker. But this was such the casino was not great. It was like a one-room casino.
Okay.
There's no, like, it's majority slots. Uh-huh. It's kind of depressing.
I like going to the comics Mohegan Sun, though.
I love Mohegan Sun.
I love that one.
I love Mohegan Sun. But that has a little better restaurants. You could go into fucking Bar American. You can, it's a little, I go out with the owner of that Club for Lobster. Like,
that guy's
it's,
great.
Yeah. It's a different world there. They have like 4 or 5 casinos. Yeah, it's different.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll be at the Roar MGM Springfield April 25th through 27th. And then more importantly, I'll be at Providence Comedy Connection May 15th. But I am shooting my first special.
Yeah, awesome.
At the Wilbur Theater in Boston on May 17th. Tickets are actually going pretty fast for that. So hopefully check out francisellis.com for
very
tickets.
Cool. Folks, Moon Tower, get those fucking Bennington tickets April 26th. It's going to be amazing. 6 p.m. May 3rd and 4th, I'm at Wilmington, North Carolina, Dead Crow. I love that club. If you're in that area, North Carolina area, come out. Wilmington, it is one of my favorite cities. Boston, Massachusetts, Laugh Boston, May 16th through the 18th. Mohegan Sun, back June 20th through the 22nd. Late June, Tampa, Side Splitters, wild. And then there's more dates in the fall. I'm coming to New Brunswick, New Jersey, Cincinnati, Ohio, Bridgeport, Connecticut, Providence, Rhode Island. TimDillonComedy.com, Tim J. Dillon, D-I-L-L-O-N on Instagram. I'll be back out in L.A. In a few weeks after Moon Tower. Going to hit up some big podcasts out there. Not going to tell you which ones, but we're still putting them together. I think we can go out there, do Segura's and a few other people's. Maybe do some dates with Rogan at the Improv. Those are always fun. Those shows are great. Who knows? But Tim J. Dillon, D-I-L-L-O-N, Instagram, Twitter. This will. This is always up on YouTube too, and we got more crazy videos coming. I'm just gonna say that Meghan McCain might make another appearance. The, I know someone that knows. Yeah,
the Instagram video you did in front of the pink wall was one of the best pieces of work I've seen
this year.
I mean that.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. It was one of the greatest achievements.
What he has done.
What he has achieved. Goes beyond. The wall is brilliant. All right. And as always, thank you, Francis Ellis.
Thank you.
The purveyor of the 9/11 official story here, which I believe most of it. A lot of cool shit coming up. Thanks, everybody.